So, Judaism has a concept called mezuzah. What's a mezuzah? There's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah like any of the other 612 mitzvot, commandments, that you need to put a mezuzah on your doorpost. There's also something which Kabbalists like to get involved in, and that's something which is called a kameya or amulets. I mean, there are still Kabbalists around today that you can go and you can pay them probably a great deal of money, or maybe some even a small amount of money, and you can get them to personally write for you your own particular amulet. I mean, one of the people who was actually very involved in this was Rav Kaduri. That was one of the things that he did, is he would write for people their amulets, and they would then theoretically, these amulets would bring about, I guess, whatever the desired impact was. There was, in the Bible Lands Museum a couple of months ago, there was a whole exhibit on various amulets and Kabbalistic things, and you could see amulets from all different centuries, all different places, and this is something which is really cross-culture, both Ashkenaz and Sephardim, people used amulets. Now, the question is, to what extent can we or should we look at the mezuzah as being an amulet, or look at it as being something which simply God said, this is a mitzvah, this is what you need to do, which means, is the purpose of the mezuzah to bring about protection, or is the purpose of the mezuzah because God said to put up a mezuzah? Now, you do see mezuzot up in all kinds of homes that sometimes you'd be a little surprised to see, or in office buildings or in other places that people put them up. You also see all kinds of people, that sometimes is quite surprising, putting their hand up and kissing the mezuzah, which is actually was the beginning of the aforementioned article that I said I wasn't going to talk about. But I was once sitting in a coffee shop waiting for a friend of mine to come, and I sat strategically that I can see the door, so I can see when he comes in, and then I see people kissing the mezuzah that you would just not expect. You know, it's almost sometimes an inverse relationship between the people who are kissing the mezuzah versus the people who are just walk in. So is there such a thing of kissing the mezuzah? And is this something which is a custom, something which is halacha, something which is good? Is this something which is bad? So I'll try to touch some of this as well. So let's begin. There's a very good source in the Mechilta. Mechilta, for those of you who don't know, is a very primary source. It is Midrash Halacha. It's parallel to the time of the Mishnah. And it takes the idea of the mezuzah for protection as a given. And matter of fact, it presents what it calls a kal v'chomer. What's a kal v'chomer? A kal v'chomer is, well, if this is the case, then that's certainly the case. What's the kal v'chomer? Let's take a look at source number one. V'pesach Hashem al ha-petach. So if those of you don't realize, we're getting very close to Pesach, and it's time. It's actually not time to start cleaning it, is it? It's always time to start cleaning. Okay. Either start cleaning or to make your hotel reservations. I'm not sure. It's too late for the hotel reservations? Okay. Yeah, I think you can still get the reservations. I didn't even know you had to make reservations. I just thought they call you up and ask you, would you mind coming and speaking? So I didn't realize you have to actually call up and make the reservations. Anyway. Uh-huh. Got it. Anyway, we are getting closer to Pesach. I have empirical evidence for this, and that is that last week I actually did see the Shkedia Parachat, which is around 3.5 weeks late, but it's there, and now you know why we really did have to add another month this year. So, as far as Pesach goes, those of you who recall the Pesach story, one of the things that we're instructed to do in Pesach Mitzrayim was what? To take the blood and to put it on the doorposts, and that will cause what? That will cause God to, this is a good word, you have to say that word now, to pass over the Jewish homes and to save them, which means, therefore, the blood on the doorposts will save them. So now the question really then becomes, is the mezuzah that we put on the doorposts now, is that in any way related to it? Now, simple logic would say, yeah. Why? Because there aren't all that many mitzvot that are connected to the door frames, or the doorposts, or the door generally. Any other mitzvot that are? Evid Ivri, okay. But that's directly related. That's directly related to Egypt. When we no longer were slaves, this one wants to be a slave. Rashi says that on the Chumash, right, with Evid Ivri. Is there any other thing which maybe direct?
You're wrong. There's something in the back of my mind.
Okay, in the front of your mind should be Hanukkah candles are also lit, but that's not a Torah law, so whatever. So maybe we can come back to that before we end. The last source that we have here, the Sfas Emes, or for some of you, the Sfat Emet, he connects the two. The fact that the rabbi said to light the Hanukkah candles near the mezuzah on the other side of the mezuzah, that he felt was of some significance. But as I said, that's if we get there. So the Mechilta makes reference to putting the blood on the entrance. V'lo yitain v'lo dvarim kal v'chomer. Uma imdam pesach mitzrayim hakal sho'enu el l'sha'a ve'enu nohig b'yom uv'layla ve'enu nohig l'dorot. Regarding this mitzvah of putting the blood on the doorpost, which is a one-time thing, it's one just for one moment in history, it's not both day and night, ve'enu nohig l'dorot, it's not throughout history. Nemar bo, but nonetheless it says, v'lo yitain ha'mashchit, it will not allow the plague to come. Mezuzah shehichamura sheyesh ba asara shemot miyuchadin. It has God's name mentioned numerous times. V'nogot bein v'yom v'layla. It's one mitzvah that you can perform both during the day and at night. V'nogot l'dorot. And it's something which is done throughout history. Al achad kama v'chama shelo yitein ha'mashchit. Certainly, the mezuzah should protect you from any kind of plague entering the home. So as I said, here is a real good ancient rabbinic source that sees it as a given that one of the things, or maybe we should call it a fringe benefit, but one of the fringe, I know you think I'm talking about tzitzis when I say fringe benefits, but one of the fringe benefits of having a mezuzah is that it does afford protection. But as I said, here is, as I said, an ancient source that says that. Yeah. Correct. I knew somebody would say that, but correct. Because here you have a transformation taking place. The transformation is one, which if you want, you can say it's primitive ritual, so on. But nothing. But think about this for a second. Think about the korbanot that we used to bring in the Beit HaMikdash getting turned into the words that we say in the Sidur. It's very similar process taking place. But over here we have now these words from the Chumash or from the Torah, as it were, being put on the doorpost.
Me, this is complete superstition.
You're a rationalist. It's not your fault.
And I thought we weren't allowed to be superstitious.
So, if you want
to say that the mezuzah is going to protect you, let's face it, it's pure superstition.
Well. So one second. Yes. First of all, my suspicion is very, very strong that you'll like the second source better than the first source.
Okay.
So just take a deep breath and wait for that one. But you can't deny the first one. Unless you really want to, you can just like rip it off the page and make believe we started with number two. That's also fine. But yes, this sound, I mean, there are people who would look and say, wow, that's terrible, that's superstition. All that a mezuzah is a commandment that God gave. What does it do with protection? And here you see that the mechilta is going out of the way, saying it to Kal V'chomer. Look, you could argue with this Kal V'chomer. You can say, what are you talking about? In Egypt, there was a plague there, and God said to do this, and I'll protect you. What does that have to do with mezuzah? That's totally out of context. Which means you can claim it's a forced Kal V'chomer. Nonetheless, the mechilta does force that. What's written in it?
Yeah.
Mezuzah is mentioned in those parashiyot.
Yeah, but when a Kadosh Baruch Hu said to put a mezuzah, what did he really mean by that?
As I said, it's written in those parashiyot where it says to put a mezuzah, those are the parashiyot we put up.
Yeah, but who said you should have that put up? I'm just asking.
I know, but again, so I'm saying the two parashiyot that says you should put a mezuzah, those are the two parashiyot which are in them. Which ones? Shema v'yom shamoa. There it says, "Uchtavtem amuzopiter," and you should write this on. Right, right, right. Okay, let's look at the Rambam, source number two. So as I said, for our rationalists, look at that. I started making fun of the British before class even started. I didn't even know that. That we can return to it. But you're saying, let's look at the rationalist perspective and who needs this superstition and so on. So as I said, you will like the Rambam. But from the Rambam's words, you're going to notice something which is interesting because he's fighting against something. It's not that the Rambam says, well, this is what it is, what we would call Messiah Lefitomo, innocently saying, well, this is what this mitzvah is, the Rambam is clearly countering a phenomenon which he's aware of, otherwise he would not be using this language. So let's look at the let's look at what he writes in language that he uses. Source number two. Minag Pashut, the custom is Shekotvim ala mezuzah mibachutz keneged harivach or revach shebein parsha leparsha shaddai. Okay, so we'll see that as well. The Rambam says that it is a custom to write on the outside of the mezuzah, right? The inside of the mezuzah has the two parashiyot, but it's a custom to write on the outside of the mezuzah God's name Shaddai. Now, where this came from is not so simple. He says, well, that's the custom. You know why he has to say it's a custom? Because it doesn't say it in any what? It's not. It doesn't say so. No, I say it doesn't say so. It doesn't say so in the Mechilta. It doesn't say so in the Mishnah. It doesn't say so in the Gemara. The only primary source, if you want, you can, is the Zohar. Does imply it. The Rambam, as far as we know, never saw the Zohar because it was published long after the Rambam passed away. So over here, you have the Rambam saying, "Oh, well, there is a custom to write the name Shaddai." The Ein Bizeh have said, and you don't lose anything by this. Lefishahu mibachutz, because it's on the outside of the parchment, which means that you would write over here the first parsha, you'd write here the second parsha, and on this side of it, where there's a space between them, here's where you would write the Shaddai, and then when you would roll it up, you would have that sticking out over here, if that made any sense. So the Rambam says you write this on the outside. This is the custom. Doesn't give a reason for the custom, but this is the custom. But then he continues and he says, Aval elu shekotvim bibifnim. So now you know, as I said, he's fighting against something because he mentions it. There are those who write on the inside page, Shemot Hamalachim, names of angels, O Shemot Kedoshim, or names of God, other holy names, O Pasuk, O Chotamot, or they write verses, or Chotamot, I think would mean over here pictures. I would think would mean images. Which is a pretty strong statement. These people would be included in those who have no share in the world to come. She'elu hatipshim, because these idiots, nice language. I did a search in the Rambam to see all the places he used the word tipshim or tipesh, and I found a whole bunch. If you want, we can have a whole class. Stupidity in the thought of the Rambam, if you want. No, because I thought that was very interesting that he... Right? Okay, if you want, I will... Right. So if you want, I will bring you all of those sources where he said that. I was thinking afterwards, I said, I wonder if anybody ever wrote an article pointing out who the Rambam thought was stupid, where he uses this term... stupidity. So I guess I'll collect it for you, and one of you can write the article afterwards. So he says, She'elo tipshim. How should we translate tipshim? Idiots is good enough?
Morons.
Okay, we'll get you going now. Okay. Elo tipshim. Lo dai lahem shebitlu a mitzvah. It's not enough that they canceled out the mitzvah. How do they cancel out the mitzvah? Because it says to write these two parshiot. And by adding something to it, it's no longer those two parshiot. It's now they've written something else. What do you think? One second. After reading this, what do you think? Do you think the Rambam woke up that morning? Do you think the Rambam woke up that morning and he said, "Hold it, who can I attack now?" You know, I'll attack something that doesn't exist. Now, clearly, there are people who are doing this. He goes, "Lo dailam shibitlu mitzvah, elisha asu mitzvah gdula." They've taken a great mitzvah, and what is this mitzvah? Shehi yichud Hashem shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu va'avato va'avadato. Now, that's interesting. He says, "What is the mitzvah? The mitzvah is yichud Hashem, knowing that there's one God." How does he know this? Because the word Shema Yisrael Hashem Hakadosh Hashem Achad is in this. Right? Va'avato, how does he know that's there? Va'avta Hashem Elokecha, you're putting there. Va'avadato, va'avadatem Hashem Elokecha, v'chol lovchem, v'chol nafshem, avodat Hashem is there. And you've turned it ki'ilu hu kamea shel hanayat atzman. You've turned it into an amulet as if it's being done for your own personal use. Kemo sha'ala alibam hasakel, Shizel Devar Hamaneh Behev Leholam. As comes to this person's, excuse me? I think it means stupidity. Yeah, it means stupidity. It also means foolish. This foolish person is trying, somebody who's enjoying from the silly things of this world. The Rambam, as you see, is not terribly pleased with this custom, and as you see, he uses very, very strange, very, very strong language. His language, though, meaning, if you were to ask the Rambam, well, are you arguing with the Mechilta? So that gets a little interesting, because the Rambam is arguing against a behavior, right? What's the behavior that troubles him? Adding stuff onto the mezuzah, right? Somebody saying, you know, I'm going to add some things, that aren't commanded. So it is the performance of the mitzvah which is being desecrated in his mind, and therefore he says, and you're turning it into a kameh, and therefore he thinks that this is something which is absolutely terrible. Whether the Rambam would agree that the mezuzah fundamentally, though, does afford protection or not, the odds are very strong that he would disagree. And what would he say? What's the purpose of the mezuzah? Is to fulfill the words that it says in the mezuzah. That's what it is. That you know that there's one God and that you love God and that you serve God and anything else that it says in the mezuzah, that's the purpose of it. Which means, why get creative over here? Why use a kal v'chomer when you could just follow what the words actually say? The fact that I put these words up on the doorpost, that means that these are the words that I should be paying attention to. That sounds to be exactly what the Rambam believes, right? Well, so then that's the question then, is there a secondary? If you look at the Hagot Mamoniot, which is one of the commentaries on the Rambam, literally Hagot Mamoniot are the notes on Maimon, the notes on the Rambam, which is from the school of Tosfot, he writes, "V'chein katav b'sefer ha-mitzvot," and the Rambam made a similar comment in his Sefer ha-mitzvot. Right, "V'chein katav b'sefer ha-mitzvot mishmo, v'chein he gidli harav of Moshe ben Rav Yeshua, shemoreinu harav of Avigdor Cohen Zatzal, hinhig b'kol eretz ostreich." Where's that? What? B'kol eretz ostreich, shelo lichtov b'mezuzah lo chotem. So that would be some kind of a picture. V'lo malach, rak shtei parshiot kashehim ktuvot, lo lahosif afilu ot echad, not to add even one line. So again, we see that in Ashkenaz, people are warning not to do it. But then he says, v'lo, v'dilo kira'im, and not like v'lezmi mitz, sefi yireim, v'lo kira'im, asher kotav tzurat ha-mezuzah, v'chotmot, v'shemot malachim, that he put a picture of the mezuzah in the mezuzah. Rav Lezmi Mintz, Sefer Yireim, and names of angels. Amnam katav she'ein behem lo ikuv velo mitzvah. But he said that this doesn't make the mitzvah any better or any worse. Lo ikuv, if you didn't write this, it's fine. Velo mitzvah, and it's not a commandment to do this, but what do you get when you do this? Ach tosefet shmira, you get a little added protection when you put these things in. You get added ach tosefet shmira. Okay, so I thought you would like that phrase over here. V'chein b'sefer ha'itur, shorabinu simcha. Again, another of the school of the Balei Tosfot. Kotav shloshap sukim tachad ha-mezuzah. He would write three verses under the mezuzah. Hashem Yishmercha Mikorah, and so on and so forth. May God protect, which means that they would add in, not only do you have over here this perspective that the mitzvah is for protection, they'd even add the idea of protection into the mitzvah. Now you saw what the Rambam said about that. The Rambam thought this is absolutely terrible. I guess where the tension really becomes then is that to write it on the same side as the mezuzah, here you get into the problem perhaps of Baal Tosif and so on. The question then would become, what about writing things on the other side? Here even the Rambam would agree that you can write things on the other side. How do I know that? Because he himself said that you can write in, that the custom is to write Shaddai. Now why exactly is that the custom? I mean, I'm saying, that's a very fair question. Why in the world is that the custom? Why not just say, the mitzvah of the mezuzah is the two parashiyot? Again, if I would now to have the Rambam under course examination, I would say to him, okay, we agree 100% with what you said, it's here, this is the mitzvah, not for anything else, Avat Hashem, Yichud Hashem, Avadat Hashem, anything else you want, but why are you writing Shaddai on the other side. And what's his answer? His answer will be, well, that's the custom. But you'll say, but how can you add anything? What would his defense be? Well, no, it's only adding if you do it on that side. So now you realize, of course, that he's opened up the door by this, that maybe there are other things you can add now on the other side as well, and not just what he said is the custom. The other people will say, well, we have other customs, what we add on the other side.
But people did add things on the other side?
Well, so far we're not sure. The Rav Yosef Karo, right? You know who Rav Yosef Karo is, right? The Shulchan Aruch. This is in his commentary to the Rambam, which is called the Kesef Mishnah, which was an earlier work that he wrote. V'amasha Amar Rabbeinu, source number... Sorry, I skipped one or no? Okay, let's look at four. Sefer HaEshkol is also from the school of Tosfot. V'ikamanda Ovid Shemot Malachim V'chotamot B'sof Shita B'shitot HaYuduot. There are some people who write names of angels and other, you know, pictures and other things on the very bottom. U'mitzvah l'mavid hachi. You just now saw a much stronger language than we saw in the Goat Mamaniyot. What did he say? U'mitzvah l'mavid hachi. In order to put the names of angels on this, this is a mitzvah. V'yudum he'masimanim yidei safreya. The sofrim know how to do this. Ein barur lano davar me'ikar lacha. But when it comes to halacha, it's really not that clear. Now, if you're going to tell me he just contradicted himself, I will agree with you. On the one hand, he said that this is the mitzvah to do it this way. On the other hand, he says, but as far as halacha goes, I'm really not sure why this is allowed. Which means anybody who read the Rambam would be a little perturbed, but on the other hand, it sounds like this is the custom. Well, no, it's not clear what he's talking about. It sounds like he's writing it on the bottom, the sof shita, the bottom of the page. Right, but it sounds a little strange. V'kol roshei ashitot b'shav. One second, that's not so relevant to us. And then is v'hoyim shemoshim nichem b'revich ma'ad keneged chalon mi'bachutz v'shadai k'tiv b'oto makom aval sof ashitot. Right, he's just telling you how you make the times. He also makes reference that you put the shadai on the other side. So that seems to be this. I'm not willing to say right now universal, but we do see that the Rambam is not the only person to mention this.
Yeah, but at the end of number four, he uses the phrase minyan shtut, which is.
Where? The end of four?
Last line. No.
No, he's talking about how you make the lines in terms of the... source number five, the Kesef Mishnah. V'yamasham Rabbeinu, aval elu shekotfim mibifnim shemot ha-malachim v'chulei, katav ha-ramach, demesechet v'zar mashma, b'hado amar unkulus l'gunda d'romai, Now, we're going to get to that Gemara in a minute. He's quoting a story in the Gemara that the Gemara seems to also say that the purpose of the mezuzah is to protect. He did this just in order to, it's really to get into a conversation, and we'll see the story in a moment, so I don't want to say any more about that. There's another Gemara without Unkelus, without the whole story. That the reason you put the mezuzah outside your front door is that's where you put something to protect you. And so you have actually two Gemaras, and we will see them both, the Lead Neder, in a moment, to get a sense about what the Gemara says in terms of protection. He then says, Tzarech Lomar, because again, what's he doing now? He's commenting on the Rambam. He's just mentioned two Gemaras that seem to imply that the purpose of the mezuzah is to protect. The Rambam, on the other hand, says, what's the purpose of the mezuzah? Yichud Hashem, Avat Hashem, Avodat Hashem. So he says, Tzarech Lomar, you have to say, Te'ein Achanami, Shemezuzah Shemer Tabayit, that you must end up saying that, in fact, the mezuzah does protect the house. Kishihi Kituva Kitikuna. Only when it's written in the proper way, a proper written mezuzah does protect. Lo hamalachim haktuvim ba mibifnim, and not when you write angels' names on the inside. Vagam ein hakavana ba'asiyata lishmor ba'it, and the intention when you put it up should not be to protect the house. Ela tzarech sheyichavein lekiyum mitzvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You need to have intention that you're doing a commandment which God asked you to do. Memela nimshach shetishmor ba'it. The result will be that your house will be protected. Now, you're right. So this also is very, very interesting. Because again, I'll say to you, go talk to the Hamon Am. and tell them, put up a mezuzah. I say, why do you put up a mezuzah? To protect the house. And you don't have a mezuzah up, they'll get themselves over. And if something goes wrong, now I don't know, then they'll, oh, I don't have a mezuzah up. And if something goes wrong, they have a mezuzah, then you go, do you check the mezuzah? And go and try to convince that that's, no. Ah, so they'll say, oh, look at the Kesef Mishnah. What did he say? He says the mezuzah protects, but only if it's written properly. So if it's not written properly, then your house isn't protected. But he says, but what's the Kesef Mishnah doing? He's trying to straddle something which is very interesting. On the one hand, he really is defending the Rambam. And how is it defending the Rambam? And that's what I think somebody said before. The primary mitzvah is to do the mitzvah which God said to do. What's the result of the mitzvah? The result of the mitzvah is that it brings about protection. But you shouldn't put it up having in mind, ah, now my house is protected, I want to protect my house. You should have in mind, I'm doing this because God said to do it. But we all know that, you know, even if you do a mitzvah without the proper intention, that does not necessarily destroy the fulfillment of the mitzvah. And then he'll end up saying that the Rambam is not bothered as much that the house, that the mezuzah protects the house. What's he bothered by? If you perform the mitzvah in an inappropriate fashion, namely by putting the names of the angels on the side of the mezuzah, which has the parashiyot, that, he's saying, then you've destroyed the mitzvah, and you only think it's about protection, and then now you've turned the mitzvah into something which is for your own personal gain, rather than doing what God commanded you to do. So as I said, the Kesef Mishnah is interesting because he really is trying to negotiate two different things. On the one hand, the Rambam's language is very strong, but he is still keeping in line with the letter of the law of what the Rambam wrote. On the other hand, we have now at this point are aware of three different rabbinic sources, the Mechilta and two Gemaras, that do imply that the mezuzah is about protection. Yeah.
What if they think they were protecting, like, things from spiritual, or, I mean, I'm assuming over the centuries that people had the mezuzah on their houses and they weren't so protected.
Well, can you imagine how bad it would have been without that?
No.
No, okay. I
the Crusaders.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
Talking, you know,
I understand. I don't know. It's very hard to say. I would assume protection from everything, but we'll see a little bit more about that as we go on.
But when you put up the mezuzah, you say the bracha, "Asher kitchanu mitzvotav
tzivanos." Right.
That shows that you're doing it because it's a mitzvah.
Yeah, but only if you're paying attention to the words that you're saying. That's a terrible assumption. Yeah.
Also, to me, this looks like it's similar to like concentrating your heart on the correct thing, like in
right.
That the idea wasn't Moshe's hands in Milchamet Amalek, and it wasn't the snake in the Mishkan. It was like you, if you really concentrated on your connection to God, then all good things would flow from
him. Right. So ultimately, Jews need to remember that we're monotheists. That we're monotheists. We need to remember that every now and again, and not to get dragged in other directions. Okay. And as you're correctly pointing out, what we should not be ascribing powers to other things, such as by the hands of Moshe or by the.
But isn't that the amulet point of view?
So now the question is, what would be the purpose of an amulet? Okay, source number 6. This is also an early Ashkenazic source. Va'od Amar Maharash. This is, if you see the source, it's Maharash Minoistat. He writes, "V'omer Maharash Zatzal sheyesh b'Gemara shetzorich lomar." From the Gemara, it says that one must say. You'll see when you. We'll see at which point you say it. Hashem yishmur tzeiti uvoti me'atavi adolam. That the Gemara says is that you should say this as you course through the mezuzah. You should or the door and say, "God should protect my comings and goings from now and forever." Let's look at source number 7, which is also a very authoritative Ashkenazic source known as the Maharil, who quotes this Maharish. We'll see it a little clearer over here. He says, Oma Maharash, harotze lelech michutz la'ir. Now that's very interesting because that just now limited it. Harotze lelech michutz la'ir, kishayotze mipetach beito, Yaniach yodo al mezuzah. By the way, this is the first time we've seen this. Okay? I'm not saying that we can't find it earlier, but so far, it's the first time we've seen it. We find that Marash says that when you are going to, again, one specific case. What's the case? You're going on a trip. You're leaving the city. What do? Then you put your hands on the mezuzah and you say, Bishimcha tal etla. Ki tal begematria kaf vav zayin vav. V'hu Hashem shekatuv ala mezuzami b'chutz. K'neged shem arba otiyot. Now this is one of these holy names they would write. If you want to know why kaf vav zayin vav is a holy name, it's one off from yud hey vav hey. Okay, and this is one of these names that you will see on amulets and you will see on certain Kabbalistic writings. So it says that, you don't even say it. You say, Bishimcha tal etla, because tal is the numerical value of kuz, of kaf vav zayin vav, which is, v'hu shem shekatuv al mezuzah mi b'chutz, k'neged shem arba otiyot. So inside the mezuzah, where it would have God's name, on the outside, they're telling us that now you would write this particular name. Ki hu otiyot shniyot achar otiyot Hashem arba otiyot ba'alphabeta. V'chol et kishiyotzi admei petach beito. Now, prior to this, we had seen what happens when you leave the city. Now he writes, what do you do every time you leave the house? V'chol et shiyotza admei petach beito yaniach yadol mezuzah v'yomar, and you should say, Hashem shomreni Hashem tzili al yimini, al yad yimini. May God protect me. May God protect me with His right hand. With my right hand, His right hand. It should be. Va'oda m'marish yesh b'gemara, and also he quotes the Maharish, says it says in the Gemara, Hashem that he should say Hashem yishmor tzei tivati mi'ad olam. Okay, so let's try to look at the Gemara to see where he got this from. So far we're looking from the Maharil.
The minhag
is indiscriminate. Every time they pass by a mezuzah, they kiss a mezuzah. Yeah. In, out, room to room,
also,
multiple.
Like
right. So right. So that's what's interesting. Over here, when we see this earlier source, what do we find? We find not kissing the mezuzah, by the way. Nobody said anything about kissing it over here. What did it say?
Yeah.
It's actually yeah, but not. I don't know. I'm not sure. That's an even. That's okay. That's another issue. We'll see where the kissing. We'll see where the kissing came from. Okay. He's actually telling us to say a prayer. I mean, do you notice that? It's actually a prayer. If you want, it's sort of like a tefillat haderech kind of thing. And you're really focusing it. I'm going on a longer trip, I say this. When I'm just going out of the house, then I say this. It's really when I leave the protection of my own home and I'm going out into the world, it's that phenomenon which causes perhaps a feeling of insecurity, whereby man has a need now to reach out to God. So it's, okay, let me use the mezuzah, which is something holy, and let me use, I mean, this, not that I'm using the mezuzah as an amulet at all, but what am I doing? I'm using the mezuzah as something which is holy in order to help me focus. I mean, the same way that somebody would walk into a shul, even if nobody's in shul, and it's not a time for davening, somebody would walk into a shul and say Tehillim in shul. Why? Because there's something holy over here. Or it's using a holy object in order to focus your prayer. Now, because this is talking about prayer, even you should not find this quite as disturbing, because here it's not a question of superstition, and it's not a question that the mezuzah affords the protection. It's a question that I'm leaving my home, and now I need to pray. So it's using this as the praise. So as I said, it's very interesting. Now you have a sense of what an Ashkenazim custom was around 700 years ago. Okay, 600 years ago. Let's take a look at the Gemaras that have been quoted here, because I'm just not convinced the Gemaras actually say what they have been purported to say. The first one is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. It's a Gemara which speaks about Unculus. Now, you all have heard the name Unculus, and some of you may recall that Unculus was a convert. Not only was he a convert, he was a nephew of royalty. And he was threatened either to back down or to be killed, and he never backed down. And he finally, there was an arrest warrant put out on him, and he was going to be arrested and be killed.
This is the same
Unculus. Just in case you're interested, his full name is Unculus ben Clonimus. which Clonimus also has met. And I mean, I don't know any Jews named Unculus subsequently, but Clonimus did become a name. So it's interesting. Did enter into the community. Unculus ben Clonimus Igayer, he converted. Shadar Kesar Gunda de Romai Abatre. You know what? I'm not convinced the Aramaic will help you. Let's read the English. Unculus, the son of Clonimus, became a ger. The emperor sent a contingent of Roman soldiers after him, but he enticed them by citing scriptural verses, and they converted to Judaism. He went, they all came to him, and he started talking to them, and he had this whole group of soldiers convert. Thereupon the emperor sent another Roman cohort after him, bidding them not to say anything to him. As they were about to take him away with him, he said to them, let me tell you just an ordinary thing, because they're not allowed to talk to him about Torah. He says, in a procession, the torchlighter carries light in front of the torchbearer in front of the leader in front of the governor in front of the chief officer. But does the chief officer carry the light in front of the people that follow? No, they replied. Said he, yet the Holy One blessed be, he does carry the light before Israel, for scripture says, and the Lord went before them in a pillar of fire to give them light. Then they too became converted. Again, he sent another group, ordering them not to enter into any conversation whatsoever or whatever with him. So they took a hold of him, and as they were walking on, he saw the mezuzah, which was fixed on the door frame, and he placed his hand on it, saying to them, now what is this? Okay, now let's go back to the that's still not going to help you much. Okay, now what is this? And they replied, you tell us then, said he, according to the universal custom, the mortal king dwells within and his servants keep guard on him from the outside. But in the case of God, his servants dwell within while God keeps guard for them on the outside. Let's just look up in the source of three lines from the bottom. Amar lehu min hagoshal ala melech yoshev b'fnim v'avadav mishamrim oto b'chutz. Avakadosh baruch hu avadav b'fnim v'hu mishamrim b'chutz. Shenemar Hashem yishmor tzedcha uvorecha me'etav yad olam. Igayer, they also converted to lo shadar batrei. He did not send any more people after him. Okay, so now using this as the source, he does say that God protects. To use this as the source to say, oh, therefore, whenever somebody leaves the home, one should touch the mezuzah and say this, it sounds a little forced. It sounds like that's just the way that story happened to take place. You know, he was looking for some opening to talk to them, and in the end, that did end up saving his life. So you see, a mezuzah does afford protection. Okay, as is very clear in this case, but it's also interesting the quote unquote Torah that he taught them. Making that very interesting observation that normally it's the king who's inside and the people protect the outside. Here we're inside and God protects us on the outside. And here you clearly have the Gemara being comfortable with the suggestion that a mezuzah does afford protection. Okay, that's as far as I would say it. We have a second Gemara in source 9, and I gave you far too much English over here. I don't know why. I know why, because I generally don't look at the English. I just cut and paste without looking. So, Amar Rava, mitzvah l'nicha b'tefach ha-samach l'risha t'ravim. What is the mitzvah of the mezuzah? To put it on the tefach towards the risha t'ravim, which, by the way, you recognize now that's very close to the language which is used by the Hanukkah. Correct. My taima, what's the reason? Rabbanan amri k'dei sheyifga b'mezuzah miyad. So that the first thing that you get to will be the mezuzah. Rav Chanina Misura Omar ki heched detitre, because the purpose of it is to afford protection. So here you have the Gemara clearly saying, "Rav Chanina Borei Shelo ki midat Hakadosh Baruch Hu midat pasav adam midat pasav adam melech yoshev b'fnim va'am hashem ratom b'chutz midat Hakadosh Baruch Hu eino kein avadim shom yoshvim b'fnim v'hu mishamar b'chutz shenemar Hashem shomcha Hashem tzucha ayad minecha." So you know what's missing from all this? It doesn't. I mean, he said from the Gemara that you're supposed to touch the mezuzah and say this. I didn't exactly see this in the Gemara, unless that he's telling me. He's using the story of Unculus and saying that that's the normative procedure, and that tells you that's what the halacha is. So as I said, not clear. Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch, source number 10. The quote, yes?
It seems from this that you only put a mezuzah on the front door, not on the doors inside.
There's what to talk about that as well. Source number 10, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah. So now you realize that the Shulchan Aruch didn't say anything about this. The Ramah says this. Why would the Ramah say it? Because the idea of touching the mezuzah, where did we see it first? We saw it in the Maharil. Maharil, right? And the Maharash Ostrit, right? That wasn't Ostrit. Maharash. No, Minoistat. So these were Ashkenazic sources that talked about touching the mezuzah. So, not surprisingly, the Ramah comes and says, Haggah, source number 10, Yesh Omrim, some say, again, not saying this is a mitzvah, this is a halacha, some say, Yesh Omrim, Kisha Adim Yotzei Min Abayit, Yiniach Yodo Al Mezuzah, then you put your hand on the mezuzah, what's the source for this? Maharil Sham, which now we know is really quoting somebody else, and as is proven, somebody wrote in parentheses here, Muchach Be'avod HaKachavim, as proven, which story did he bring? The story of Onkelos. V'yomar, and what should a person say? Hashem Yishmur Tzeti, and so on and so forth. Now what's interesting about this is the Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara didn't say you have to say it. What did the Gemara say? The Gemara didn't say anything about a prayer. The Gemara in both places says that God protects us as it says so in this verse. It didn't say that when you leave the house you should say it. So even though the way that this was quoted by the Maharil is that you need to touch the mezuzah and say this, as it says in the Gemara, I'm just pointing out the Gemara does not actually really say that. The Gemara says, God protects. The Gemara says that Onkelos had this conversation. It doesn't say that this is what Onkelos actually said. Okay. V'chein kishi kanes adam labayit yenichu yado al mezuzah. And also when he enters the home, he should touch the mezuzah. So again, what we have over here, the Ramah saying, is that there is a custom to touch the mezuzah leaving and coming, but when leaving, he does say that one should say prayer. May God protect me where I'm going, which is a very nice thing to do. Right, which is...
So it's
right.
Coming and going.
Right, okay, correct. But he only mentions the saying something when leaving. The Gra in source number 11 in two different citations quotes as the source for this the story with Onkelos and the Gemara Menachel, what we saw afterwards, saying that these are the sources. But again, the later sources say more than the primary ones do. As an aside, I'll point out source number 12, the Pitchei Tshuva. He says, "I am b'shut rekiva eger shekatab de'im ein hamuzuzah betoch tik lo nachon laniach yado aleha." If the mezuzah is unprotected, which means it's just the parchment up on the wall, then it is wrong to touch it. One is not permitted to just touch it. One is not permitted just to touch a sefer Torah. One is not, right? I don't know if you've ever noticed this. If let's say they're doing Hagbor, Galila, and the sefer Torah starts to droop, right, you'll see somebody reach over with a talus and he says the same thing over here. Look at source number 12 at the end. He says, "Ve'im ratzon laniach yado tov laharid milivusho asher al atzilei yadav laniach al mezuzah ein sham," which means it's better than like to use your clothing and touch it with your sleeve or something, but not to touch it directly with your hands, because this would really be a separation from holiness. There's a lot more to talk about this, but I just do want to mention this. And again, this is interesting because here we have a custom. The custom is to touch the mezuzah or even kiss the mezuzah, as the case may be. But the Rav Akiva Eger is pointing out, but that's a very nice custom. But make sure you don't break halacha as you're trying to keep a custom. And I'm sure for a lot of people, it's the performance of the custom is far more important than anything else. Kissing the mezuzah takes the, it's of primary significance. But over here, as I said, it's now you realize part of the significance of having something to house the mezuzah properly. And by the way, I will point out that this is a total pragmatic aside, that they sell special mezuzot covers for outside the house, which are waterproof. Yes. And if you don't have one outside which is waterproof, then your mezuzah will not be kosher. In a very short amount of time, especially, again, depending how where the winds and rain come, but there's a very good chance that if it's outside, then it will be rendered not kosher, and it's worth it. And it costs the same amount. Just
on your point about it being of prime importance, I briefly taught in a Beis Yaakov school.
I'm sorry?
Well, the girls was covering for somebody, where the girls would be elbow you out of the way in order to, get to the mezuzah.
There are priorities in our religion. One of them is kissing the mezuzah. Listen, it was so that ruins my theory. I thought the Beis Yaakov girls was only kissing that was happening. So I guess. Petre Tshuva is, I don't recall his name here, because it's different people in different books. Ashkenazi. And he quotes Rav Akiva Eiger, who is an 18th century Ashkenazi as well. The Shach, commenting on the Ramah over here, V'yomar Hashem Yish, source 13, V'yomar Hashem Yishmor V'chulei, K'sheyot Zla Derech, Chutz La'iri Niyach Hidom L'Zav, V'yomar B'Shemcha Tal At, and so on, Tal B'Gematria, and so on, which means he goes back and he quotes the Maharil about this whole Gematria, and so on, and saying this special, more Kabbalistic prayer. The Levush says clearly what you thought you understood before in the Ramah. Levush is very interesting. Levush, I mentioned him a week or two ago, right? Levush is an early Ashkenazic source who had the bad luck of writing a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch that didn't get published inside the book. And it's a separate book. Val kol netinata b'tefach achitzon sheyeh kol abayit lefnim hayimina u'shmirata. Okay, again, he talks about the Shmira. L'chein yesh omrim kishadam yotzei mir abayit o nichnas l'tocho yiniyach yodom uzuzav v'yomer Hashem yishmor tzeti uvoati. So he mentions this about saying this verse or this prayer, as it were, then both when you leave and when you come. And by the way, you can say it in English as well. You can say, may God protect my comings and my goings, my entering and leaving. That's what he says is a custom. The Birka Yosef, we've only got the Sfardi in here for you. The Birka Yosef, commenting on the same passage, says, Yeniach Yodo al Mezuzah, Ba'omer, V'ha'arizal, Arizatzal, so Arizal, so here we now have moved on to our clear Kabbalistic customs. Katav writes, Yaniach etzpo'o hanikra ama. You take your finger, which is called the ama. You place it al Shaddai, where it says, now we're back to the name Shaddai again. You place it where it says Shaddai, v'yineshakehu, and you kiss your finger. V'yitpalel, and you should pray, l'Hashem sheyishmarenu b'shem Shaddai. May God protect us in the name of Shaddai. V'chilufo ba'otiyot ha'mucharot, but you switch it to a different letters when you say this, to letters tav kaf hey. Why? It's one off and inverted. Shiyatzilenu meyetzer hara. May God protect us from the yetzer hara. This then.
First instance of kissing?
Yes. The first time we find kissing is from the Arizal. But it's not just kissing. It's also very interesting what he's doing here. He's saying that you kiss it. Specifically, it's this thing, the Shaddai. But you also say a prayer connected, that what you want to do is to protect. But it's different, very different kind of protection. Which means we saw from the Maharil, the kind of protection is protection because I'm leaving my home and I'm going out, and protect me from the elements which are out there. And what is the Arizal saying that you need to be praying about? Yeah, protect me from the Yetzer Hara. Protect me really from myself. Which means, yes, there will be stimulants and all kinds of things out there. But again, this is much more of a spiritual concern, which goes back to your question before. It's much more of a spiritual concern over here and a spiritual prayer. Now what led him in this direction? Let me make a suggestion. I did hold out on you because I didn't want to give you a fifth piece of paper. I think that the part of the answer to this will lie in the name Shaddai. So where is this name used, and what is the significance of this name? So first of all, I can use this as an opportunity that if you don't have it, you should buy my book, Explorations, because I have a chapter on it over there. But in the chapter, it's speaking about Yosef, and I'll explain to you exactly why it's a chapter speaking about Yosef. The name Shaddai only appears 7 times in the Chumash. 6 of them are in Bereishis. The 7th time is in Va'era, where God says, I appeared to the Avot, B'Shem Shaddai. The other times, so let's start with the first time that it's used. The first time, yeah, you got it? The first time the name is used. So I'll give you a hint. It's in Bereishit, chapter 17, Perek Yud Zayin. It is within the context of Avraham being told to perform circumcision. Okay? Excuse me? Well, so it's very interesting. And then he says, "Vayhi Avram ben tishim shana v'teisha shanim," and God appeared to Avram, "V'yomalav ani kel shakai hitalech lefay v'yatamim," and then it goes into the, you're going to have a child, right? And circumcision. The other times it's used, almost every time, and the times it's not, I can explain it anyway, but it's almost every time is used in terms of fertility. Fertility. Which also would lead one to think, is there a connection between Shaddai and breasts? But it's certainly a name which is connected with fertility. The reason I say that is the second usage is in Perek Kafchet Pasuk Gimel, V'kel Shakai Yivarechotcha V'yifercha V'yirbecha V'yitil Kalamim. The third time is in Perek Lamed Hei, V'yom Elokim Ani Kel Shakai Perei Urvei. Right? So I'm saying you're getting... I'm skipping one, but in Perek Mem Tet, the bracha to Yosef is, Mekel Avicha V'yazreka V'et Shaddai V'yivarechecha Brichot Shamayim Me'al, Brichot Tahom, Rovetz Atachet, Brichot Shadayim V'racham. Right? Literally, blessings of the breasts and the womb. Again, this is clearly blessings of fertility. So I'm saying almost all of the usages are connected to issues of fertility. The first time is significant, because what's the first time? The first time is a bracha of, in terms of circumcision. But that seems to be the prerequisite for Avram then to have a child. Or to have Yitzchak at least. So again, I'm staying with my fertility suggestion. The Gemara, which is in Chagiga and Dav Yud Bet Amid Aleph, says the name Shaddai. It says V'Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav B'Shar Shabar Kodesh Baruch Hu Ta'Olam Hayamarchiv V'Hulech Kishtei Pikiot Al Shtei Ad Shagara Kodesh Baruch Hu V'Amido Shenemar. And so on and so forth, which means, he's saying, when God created the world, it expanded and expanded and expanded and expanded, till God said, stop. This will be clear in the next line of the Gemara. Hainu d'amar Reish Lakish, that's what Reish Lakish says. May dichtiv, what does it mean? Ani kel shakai, I am the God in Shaddai. Ani hu sh'amarti la'olam dai. I'm the one who said to the world, stop. Which means that it's understood the idea of Shaddai as limitation, which means I would explain it as follows, based upon this Gemara, that Avraham's basic orientation to God is in terms of nature, right? Avraham looks at nature and understands God. There's a downside to nature, because if I say that something which is natural is good, then I end up justifying all kinds of instinctual behavior. Which means ultimately, if religions are going to have any significance, then it means that I need to have the ability of controlling instinct. So over here, it seems to be very clearly the start of the Jewish people in terms of Avraham having a child, Yitzchak, is first their circumcision, which seems to be a physical metaphor of the same concept, one of self-control and one of limitation, and not just of following one's instinct specifically within the sexual realm. So now, having said all this, I'm going to go back and try to understand the Arizal. I would be very tempted to say that the Arizal understood everything I just now told you. Would you tend to agree with me on that? Right. And if he understood everything I just now said, so he understands the name Shaddai is this name of self-limitation, which means it's this name that has to do with controlling instinct, which means, again, Bereshit Bara Elohim, or Elohim, the Kabbalists will tell you, is Hateva, is nature. Bereshit Bara Elohim. This is the beginning of nature. But nature now has to be a person. I mean, any of our children who say, well, I'm just following my nature. No, we need to control our nature. That's very much what this name Shaddai is related to. So therefore, it becomes very interesting. Do we have a custom, or is there a custom to kiss the mezuzah? Yes. Is there a custom to touch the mezuzah? Yes. Are there rabbinic sources that imply that the idea of the mezuzah is connected to protection? Yes. All that is yes. On the other hand, just to turn into some kind of magical amulet and to put, you know, names of angels and so on, and that will cause the protection, that seems, what the Rambam attacked, that seems to be a very fair attack. And the other sources that we saw didn't argue with that. Rather, what they said is that to use the mezuzah as a prayer. Those people who would leave the house and they would touch the mezuzah, they would say this prayer because, again, I'm leaving outside the city. You know, who knows where I'm going? A person needs some kind of protection, so use this to pray. you're leaving the house generally to pray. The Arizal, therefore, becomes very interesting because he's saying, okay, what's the basic prayer that I need? I need to pray that I can practice self-control, that the Yetzer Hara doesn't get the better of me, and that's the purpose of touching the mezuzah. So, could be. Listen, I hope and pray that every single person, whoever touches a mezuzah and kisses a mezuzah, that they have this prayer, and they say the prayer, and they say it with kavana, and the prayer comes true. My suspicion is that many people who touch the mezuzah, they just see it as some kind of... but I won't even say it as amulet. I think for most people, it's not even a question of... It's a question of holiness. It's a question of having interaction with something which is holy, and it's an understanding that there's holiness there. I don't know if that's such a terrible thing for a person to have in the course of a day 10, 20, 30 interactions with something which is holy and to pause for a second and to kiss the mezuzah. Again, I'm not looking down at it at all. I do find it very interesting. And as you pointed out, probably the highest percentage of people who do it are Sephardic girls. It's probably off the charts there, yeah. Boys and guys, right. Even Ashkenazim. No, they've been ruined as well by the Sephardim. Don't kid yourself. They go to school together.
For 36 years, believe me.
In secular schools or religious schools? In religious schools, everybody does it. In religious schools, everybody does it. Religious schools is the.
Correct.
In the secular schools. That I've seen as well. So as I said, if somebody wants to, you know, have the like a God, memory experience 10, 20, 30 times a day, that's a wonderful thing. Again, I just hope that as they kiss the mezuzah, they remember that there's Yichud Hashem, Avat Hashem, Avodat, Avat Hashem, all those things as well, as they pass by, that becomes a wonderful thing. In terms of halacha, you should check your mezuzah occasionally. There's actually times that one should check it. You should check it twice in 7 years. If something goes wrong, it would not be the first thing that I would tell you to do. Should you check your mezuzah twice in 7 years? Yes. You should check it with a reputable person, not somebody who necessarily sells mezuzot. And a better thing than that, as I already told you, is to place your mezuzah in something which is waterproof, because that will really give you your mezuzah protection. Okay, Shabbat Shalom. Yes. They still. The one in your kitchen, steam, whatever, or as we had last week, an exploding soup. Yes. Well, not in Israel, really. Which means you don't do it too often, occasionally.
I'm just going to write something in the book, okay, if it fits to you.
Thank you.